Time now to catch up with Jeff from Estella Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening in the wonderful world of organic wine, mate?
Oh, busy, 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 Peter. The weekend was spectacular and very busy.
Oh, very good. I'm pleased to hear that because I'll talk to you about it later after we finish the segment.
Yeah, no, the and school holidays on, so we've got lots of people here in the accommodation, and it was a bit cooler yesterday, but it didn't stop the kids were in the pool, so they got antifreeze in their veins, I think, some of these kids.
Yeah, and icicles all over them when they get off.
But no, well, when I say it was cooler, it was like 25 or 26 degrees. But it's been up in the 30, you know, around 30, but very pleasant. Very, in fact, so pleasant because it's dry here. We're a little further inland. You know, people weren't even sitting in the shade. They were sitting in the sun at 30 degrees. So,
wow.
It was quite pleasant.
How are the grapes handling all this differential in one day it's winter, the next day it's summer, the next day it's I don't care. I mean, how's all the grapes handling
all
this?
I think as long as they don't get frost, they don't care. Peter, I'm not a botanist by any means. I'm an observer. I'm a researcher, basically, as you know, and my listeners, the regular listeners know, I do have a PhD in engineering, and I'm a theoretical mathematical type engineer, whereas, you know, the work that I did can be proven, you know, from practical point of view. But
yeah.
The observation that I have done over the years watching the crop, Peter, is more attuned to the length of the day than anything else.
Yeah.
And look, you know, in poor seasons, it might be a day or two behind, or in good seasons, it might be a day or two ahead. But it pretty much, you may still not have a great crop, or you may have a great crop, but it all is going to happen, whether it's good or bad, about the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's more to do with the length of the day, from what I've been able to see, and at the times that we've harvested. You know, and done various things than it is as to, you know, how the weather is good. Too hot, of course, and it doesn't like the 47, 48 degrees much, but it...
I'll tell you what, neither do I.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, no, good, Peter. It's great, and it looks spectacular, and people are having a wonderful time. So we invite everybody to come, Peter. So
come on down.
Yeah, lots of happening in the world, Peter. Well, research in particular, you may have seen, and I was going to ask you how much Neanderthal percentage you got, because people that are susceptible to the coronavirus, Peter, are unfortunately, they're now being Neanderthals are now being blamed.
It's a wonder we haven't got gremlins and all the pets and what have you coming into the yard.
Yeah, I think if I recall, we did the show quite some time back when they were blaming Neanderthals for something else. I think the average Caucasian is about 2.6%. The South Asians and Caucasians, about 2.6%. But there's some special genes that are making people very susceptible to the coronavirus, Peter. And it might account for why, I read one story in the United States where like two-thirds of the entire extended family have died of coronavirus.
Yeah, because they just don't care.
Well, it's in your genes, Peter. It's in your genes.
Well, I've always said just wear shorts.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, Neanderthals are getting bashed again. UK has lost the plot. They're up around 14,000 cases today, Peter. That's a higher per person rate per population than the US ever had. And it's now running in the UK three times the rate of infection of the United States. So it's a real problem for them.
Mate, we have friends, of course, in the United Kingdom. I'll see if I can get at least one of them to talk to us on the show. Because I mean that with the time difference is a bit of a worry, but even if I got it pre-recorded, but just to find out what life is really like.
Yeah, well, you know, talking about lockdowns and things in Victoria, I see they're revising history down there now, Peter. If you remember, about a month or six weeks ago, they announced that the Victorian outbreak was a completely different strain, and it was traced back to one tourist in hotel isolation. Mm-hmm. Now they say the outbreak was brought in from the outside by the security workers. Talk about revisionist. Now, how do they explain that this was a new, slightly different DNA strain of coronavirus if it was already in Melbourne, brought into the isolation areas?
Maybe they went home and changed their uniform.
Yeah. Revisionist. You got to change history to suit your political agenda, Peter.
Yeah. Oh, gee, we noticed a lot of that in the last couple of days.
Exactly. And there's still nobody in Australia responsible for anything. Not one single. Oh, yeah, there was. They fired the health minister in Victoria, or she resigned, you know. But you know, what happened to the old saying, Peter? The buck stops at the top.
Yep. Huh? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the buck stops at the top with us.
Yeah.
And it should be with everybody else, too.
She said it wasn't her decision. And I can solve the problem easily, Peter. You just go to the treasurer, the guy that signed the check, say, who told you to sign the check? And you go to him and you say, who told you to tell the guy to sign the check?
Yeah.
Right? And pretty soon.
But of course, he won't remember.
Yeah.
He probably said the machine digitally signed it.
Yeah. Interesting, Peter, to see.
Tell him what to do with his digital.
Yeah. Talking about. Diseases and things. I see the Nobel Prize for Medicine was awarded to the people that discovered hepatitis C, or actually coined the phrase hepatitis C. It took them 10 years to find it. They had hepatitis A and hepatitis B, and they found another sort of strange thing going on. Took them 10 years to identify it originally.
God, we're in trouble. They got 23 letters to play with now.
Yeah, that's it. Well, now they've found the virus, and this is why they got the Nobel Prize. They found the virus. It's a blood virus, and they found it. And now that they've identified it and been able to DNA it, they are expecting to wipe out hepatitis C within 10 years. They're already, one of the groups are already developing a vaccine for hepatitis C, and that would be great, because here's the point. Coronavirus has killed 1 million people, mostly quite elderly. Hepatitis C kills 400,000 people every year, Peter.
Every year. Because people don't do, again, we're back to basics. Don't do this, don't do that. And they say, uh-huh.
Yeah, but you know, perspective, Peter. We have no perspective.
Yeah.
You know, we have no perspective. Where's the marching in the street over the hepatitis C? You know, and 3 million people that have AIDS have hepatitis C as well.
It's sort of a
combination sort of thing. So it's just a matter of perspective, Peter. We don't have it, unfortunately, and politicians have no vision, so they don't have it for sure.
Yeah, well, they probably say, well, you know, it doesn't concern us, so why bother?
Well, yeah, because the electorate's not up in arms. Oh, well, 400,000 people. We got lots. We got 7 billion people.
Yeah, it's all right. We can spare a few.
Yeah. It's not my grandmother, so I don't worry.
That's right.
Actually, a few very interesting things, Peter. They have first-time study. This came out of, I believe, out of University of South Australia. I'm guessing now because I read these a while ago. I'm just looking at my notes here. They have found that obesity reduces brain plasticity, Peter. It's a first time study. So if you're overweight, your brain slowly stops functioning correctly. Your short-term memory goes, and your ability to learn goes as well, Peter. So another reason to diet, make sure that you're not over. And I, you know, got to admit that I've run into some pretty hefty ladies in my time that had
I'm staying out of that.
I wonder about their brain plasticity, Peter.
Oh, you're stretching a point there, man, I tell you.
Anyway, another one that coronavirus, they've in male, the male population, they found at least half the patients, it has reduced the testosterone level in half the males. And they, you know, I don't know, I didn't really read it enough, whether people with reduced testosterone are more likely to get it, people, or it does, but I'm sure it does. It reduces because they have those controls in the study. So it's a far-reaching set of side effects, Peter, because it affects the heart, it affects the brain, and now, of course, it affects the virility of the male species, Peter.
They want us to be bright, big, and beautiful.
Yeah. another very interesting article in the... They again have been able to kill cancer 100%, Peter. And this has got to be at least the third or fourth time that we've talked about this. They use nanoparticles... And I'm just going to try and find this one. Yeah, nanoparticles, silica nanoparticles, and they coat them with this L-phenylalanine, it's called. It's an amino type acid.
Yeah, it's
and
a bugger of a word, isn't it?
The cancer cells feed on this, and it kills them. They self-destruct. And they've been able to do it in mice and in a petri dish, I think. Well, mice, I guess. It doesn't say anything about a petri dish. But so cause them to self-destruct. Now, that's a very important, because that's simple, very simple thing. And you wonder these, that's at least the third complete cure for cancer we've talked about in the last year. And then, you know, they got to do something about getting this research, you know, into the medical system faster for people that have got it, Peter, like people we know, unfortunately. So
yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It is. You just got to get it there quicker. Yeah.
Well,
so
you can actually help, you know, with all the beautiful wines that you have.
Yeah, well, that's true too. I'm doing my bit to try and preserve my body until it all.
So you're very pleasantly, are you?
All comes to fruition, Peter. Talking again about T cells, they have discovered that the reason older people are dying, of course, more frequently, one of the contributing factors is that as you get older, your T cells get numbers get less as a percentage of your overall cells. And like your T cells, as we've talked many times before, the cancer killer cells. They're also virus killer cells, Peter. They kill the coronavirus. But as you get older, you get less and less, you have less and less T cells. So you've got to energize them. And we talked about that study again, came out of University of Southern California, or UCLA, I think it was, where they found that if you energize your T cells with creatine, you have a much better chance of fighting cancer. And they did that by feeding small amounts of creatine to mice. And if it's going to energize T cells to fight cancer, it will. Somebody trying to get you, mate.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, mate. Yeah, they picked that very time.
Yeah, you know, if you can energize your T cells, you're less likely to get coronavirus as well, Peter. So that was an interesting side study as well. So anyway, very interesting things, Peter. And you and I bring it to the public first. And then the popular press gets it sometimes months later, Peter. But we're on the leading edge here.
Well, that's good.
It is. Our listeners should be the healthiest. I'm not a medical doctor, as I say, but they can do their own research. Dr. Google is online here, and they can take what we say and they can research it for themselves and make their own decisions, Peter. And I've made a few. I've been taking creatine because, you know, I'm a survivor as well. And I've taken a few other supplements that we've talked about on the net here, Peter, and what they do on the broadcast program. So
sure.
I think there's a lot to be said for herbal medicines and herbal stuff. I when I had my treatment, Peter, I forewent having chemical chemotherapy because the side effects are horrendous. The side effects kill you before the cancer comes back in half these cases.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible stuff. And if I had it all to do again, I probably wouldn't have had radiation either. But yeah. Anyway,
but you're still with us. And, you know, that's the important thing.
It is. And, I think you've got to, eat properly. But look at some of these alternative research that's coming. It's not alternative. It's mainstream research coming out of top medical institutions. They just can't seem to get it into the market, Peter, get it into the medical profession. And they have that test now for coronavirus that's a swab. In mouth swab, and according to, remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did the show where they showed that it was more accurate, quicker, and less unpleasant?
Yes, yes.
And Australian Medical Association just announced a week ago that, it's not acceptable, that test in Australia.
What?
And so they're going to continue sticking this thing right out the back of your head.
They can stick it.
I know. They're unbelievable. You know, I mean, that's not what we do. We do it our way, you know.
Yeah. So they've got shares in the business for the things they stick in you.
You know, everybody's, they think made in Australia is better. Anyway, so you're right, Peter. We need to get more wine to everybody. And to get, incidentally, for our listeners, I get a lot of my information. As our listeners know, Peter, I read about 30 abstracts a week from top medical research centers and universities and other areas. And I get a lot of that from the health web page of Science Daily. And I invite everybody to read that. Because they have the abstracts of all these articles that we talk about, and they can read these advances for themselves, Peter, or make up their own mind.
That's good, because they simplify it down so you and I can even understand it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pure research in there, Peter, which we don't talk about because that's not our field. Yeah. We talk about things that people can relate to, like being part Neanderthal.
Oh, we're back there again.
So we try and pick things that are within control of our lives, Peter, and that affect our health. And that instead of, the great leaps and bounds in research that are being made. So, and of course, we talk about wine. I haven't seen any research on wine in that area, but we're doing our own research here, Peter.
You're getting the grassroots of the whole lot there and having a good time at the same time.
Yeah, it is. And I encourage people when they're going shopping, I don't care where it is or what you're doing, buy stuff that hasn't been sprayed.
Yep. You know, and that's important with fruit and vegetables too. They even have a different taste.
Well, they do, Peter, because they when you spray fruits and vegetables, you reduce the nutrition up to 50%. Certainly 30% on average, because the nutrition in a fruit or a vegetable or a cereal or grain, whatever, is the immune system. The plant's immune system, okay? That's the nutrition. They're using these antioxidants to fight off disease and insect damage.
You may as well eat the sponge from the dishwasher.
Yeah. If they don't have to develop an immune system, Peter, because they're never exposed to any of these diseases, because the farmers keep spraying herbicides and insecticides and all these chemicals, they don't develop an immune system, Peter, because they don't have to. And they look beautiful because they've had no disease.
That's right.
But they have no antioxidant level, Peter. A severely reduced antioxidant level, because that antioxidant level is their immune system. And it's antioxidants we chase, Peter. That's why we chase foods high in antioxidants.
But if someone's waving the flag at you, there is a way around this. What you do is you grab a tomato, a beautifully prepared and grown tomato that hasn't been sprayed, and bite into it and taste it. Then you'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah. No, it's look, just go to your market on Sunday morning, look the guy in the eye and say, did you spray those fruits and vegetables? If he says yes, you go to the next guy, Peter, until somebody says no. Then you buy his stuff.
That's right.
It's been tested I don't know how many times that organic wine has on average 50% higher antioxidants and as high as 100% higher antioxidants than non-organic wine. That's has right. No chemicals. According to Peter, the average wine has 15 carcinogens and endocrine disruptors in it. But here's the point, Peter. It's also the highest level of mycotoxin poisons in the adult diet, because once you drive a plant's immune system down, a thing called mycotoxin fungus grows. And it's endemic in our food supply. And there are 350 poisons in that group. And just quickly, state of New Jersey tested 11-year-old schoolgirls a few years ago. You can find the study on Google. 78% of those girls, 11-year-old girls, had elevated mycotoxin poisons in their urine. Mm. The mycotoxin group were smaller, they were lighter, and they were less physically developed. And their mothers are just feeding them with fruits and vegetables from the local supermarket.
Oh, well, we've got to get that wine out, mate, and that's the important thing. There are several ways to do it.
There is. You can come here and sit under the wonderful silk tree and have a sample, Peter.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Buddy, put that glass down.
Yeah, acellawines.com.au, Peter. Mix and match down to a 9-pack. Free delivery Australia-wide, Peter. You can't go wrong.
So makes it easy.
It does. Anyway, you can call us here at the Vineyard, 6574-5275. Lots of people out and about at the moment, Peter. You know, I think it's great to be, you know, it's kind of a relief. It's not just cabin fever. People are relieved to be able to, you know, travel and be able to experience freedom again.
Which is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, one of the federal governments I don't think they call them cabinet ministers, whatever they call them in the council, the president's council, he said that part of the reason why they haven't locked down in the United States is that locking down is the greatest infringement upon freedom, man's freedom, since slavery was abolished.
Yeah.
He made that public statement.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, it's against the Constitution, you know, to lock people up in their houses and tell them they can't go anywhere or do anything.
Yeah.
And so there's a bit of a fight going on there between those that think you can in the United States and those that think you can't under the Constitution.
Oh, brother. Mm. I don't know, you can't take them anywhere, can you?
No, you know, they're never going to have a second wave, because I think the first wave is going to last forever, Peter.
Yeah, that'll knock them all off.
Yeah, so anyway, they've got it under more control than Europe has now, but, you know, the infection rate in North America is less than half of what it is in most of Europe, even Scandinavia. Look at the Netherlands, Peter, over 4,000, 4,500 cases a day.
They're not listening.
Yeah, Sweden, of course, is traveling around the 200 or 300. I think they're 150 yesterday and 450 or something today, or the day before, 450 yesterday. But the countries around them, you know, who are, they've got the old lockdown. They're sort of under control. But here's the thing. The economies in Europe, Peter, average 12% drop. Some of them 18%. I think Spain was the worst, and some of them 15%. The economy in Sweden only dropped 3%, Peter.
Yeah.
So there's a balance, and Sweden said this is the way we're going to do it.
Fair enough.
Here they are. They're sitting at one of the lowest infection rates in Europe, and they didn't destroy their economy.
That's right. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. And we'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Jeff from Acella Wine. That's acellawines.com.au.